Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening, bringing forth the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is good to us, and He's keeping us by His grace. This program is called Thy Word is a Lamp, and it is definitely a lamp to our feet, God's Word. It guides us. It keeps us from stumbling, and we have to adhere to His Word to find that grip as we walk along this journey. We want to be confident, knowing that God's Word is sure. It keeps us from falling and present us faultless before God. So we thank God that His Word is spirit and it is life. We have finished the Song of Songs, and now we are going into a new series called The Sayings of Jesus. And that's Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The Sayings of Jesus. That's our new topic for this teaching. Before I begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for all your goodness, for your mercies, for your grace. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are our faithful Father. Thank you that you never leave nor forsake us. Thank you that you are always with us. Oh God, thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Thank you today, O God, that your words will come forth in the way that you purposed it to. And we pray that hearts will be pierced by your words, and people will be transformed by the renewing of their minds. So we thank you again for this opportunity to share your word with your people. And we thank you, O God, that you have prepared their hearts to receive and be changed. Lord, we thank you and we look to you by faith as we pray in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to start in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 5. We are going to start in chapter 5 of St. Matthew, and we are going on to chapter 7. So we'll complete this series in chapter 7 of Matthew. This text is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. So these chapters in Matthew are often referred to, chapters 5 through 7, as the Sermon on the Mount. But I will be entitling this series, The Sayings of Jesus. And when I say the sayings of Jesus, I'm referring to Jesus' statement in Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock." So Jesus referred to all that he taught as his sayings. So I am going to entitle this series, The Sayings of Jesus. So we are going to take the time out to look into these sayings of Jesus and ask him to open our understanding so that we will be able to practice his words to us. We don't want to be just hearers of his word, but we want to practice his words. We want to be doers of his words. So as we go through this series, we pray that we will purpose in our hearts to practice the word of God. So Matthew 5 verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him." Seeing the multitude, when we look back in chapter 4 of Matthew, verses 24 through 25, we see where Jesus went throughout Syria and went about doing so much good, healing the sick with different kind of diseases, those who were possessed with devils, they were delivered. And those that has the palsy, they were healed. And verse 25 said, there followed him great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judah and from behind Jordan. So there was a great crowd following Jesus. And when Jesus looked on this crowd, he just went up into a mountain. He just departed from all this crowd and went up into a mountain. And he sat down. And the word of God said his disciples came to him. So after all that healing ministry, Jesus just took a break and went up into the mountain. But his disciples came unto him, and he took that time to teach them. Verse 2 said, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So he took that time out to teach his disciples his words. And we can see from verses 3 of Matthew chapter 5 to verse 10, it is well known as the Beatitudes, the blessings. And Jesus said in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus was saying is, happy or favored are those who come to Jesus admitting that they are lacking spiritually. People of God, if we don't come to him and say, Lord, I need you, I need more of you, if we think we have it all together, then we won't go very far, because we have not yet attained, we have not yet been perfected. We still have to be learning along this journey. We still have to be yoked to Jesus and learn of him. So when we come to him and say, Lord, I can't do nothing without you, I need you, then we will be filled up. So he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that admit that they are lacking spiritually. The kingdom of God shall be manifested to them. And when we come each day in humble submission to Jesus, when we come each day with a broken and a contrite heart, the word of God tells us he will not despise us, but he will work along with us. And we are going to see God's glory be manifested in our lives as we come to Jesus in humble submission, asking him to fill us up daily. Each day we need a new filling. We need to be refilled each day. We need the Holy Spirit to continuously fill us up afresh so that we can go forth and manifest the kingdom of God on this earth. The kingdom of God has come. The king is here, but he has to be in residence in our hearts. He has to take that place in our hearts where we can now go forth in his power and manifest the kingdom in this world. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is in us, but the kingdom must be manifested. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom will be manifested in those who find themselves lacking spiritually and come to Jesus daily for a refilling. Then we are going to see God's kingdom being manifested right here on earth. Verse 4 said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy, favored are those who are grieving. This grieving does not have to be because of physical loss, such as loss of loved ones or possession. This grief is a grief for the spiritual state of mankind. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They wouldn't accept him. They did not want to accept him as their Lord and Savior, as their Messiah, and he wept over them. And we as God's people need to feel that deep grief for souls that are so entrenched in sin. The word of Jesus Christ says that we shall be comforted. When we have this deep grief for souls, he will comfort us. The blessed Holy Spirit will comfort us, for he is the God of great comfort. So we have to have that deep grief in our hearts for the loss. And surely Jesus said, we shall be comforted, and his words are true. We shall be comforted. Verse 5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy, that blessed there mean happy, are favored, are those that are submissive, those that have their power under control, those that have been completely yielded to God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. They shall live the abundant life that Jesus promised in his word. He came that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. The life of wholeness that only he can give. So we want to walk in meekness, people of God. We want to be submitted to the word of God. We want to draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to us. We want to possess everything that God has on earth for us. We want to possess the land. We want to live that fulfilled life that comes only through Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy, favored are those that have a yearning for more of Jesus, who is our righteousness. Are we yearning for more of Jesus? We need to have that yearning, that desire for more of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. So he's the one that we should desire. We should desire him more than anything else. His words remind us that we shall be filled. We want to be filled up daily with the Holy Spirit presence. We want to go forth in power to do God's will. We want to go and see a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't want to just go with mere words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Ghost power. We want to have Jesus in every area of our lives. We want to run to him when we are hungry and thirsty. John 6:35 said, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. For he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. People of God, we need to run to Jesus daily. People of God, we need to have that holy hunger. We need to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come to me, eat of me. And when you come to me and eat of me, you shall never be hungry. And you who believe on me, you who have committed to me, he said, you shall never thirst. John 7:37-38 said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. People of God, we need to be hungry and thirsty for Jesus. We need to run to him and say, Lord, I am thirsty. Fill me up. Fill me up to overflow. We want to trust in God, trust his word. And when we go out as witnesses, everything that we say will show that we have been in contact with Jesus. We want life to flow from us. And only when he is in us and filled us up, then we will be able to flow in the spirit, flow and allow his life to flow through us and to flow unto those that we come in contact with. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that infilling. We need, when we speak words of life, words that edify, words filled with grace and truth, words that will bring grace to those who hear. We pray today that we will not just be hearers of God's word, but go out and practice what Jesus says, for we want to live a life holy and acceptable and pleasing to him. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed there means happy. Favored are those who show mercy to others. The word of God is telling us that we shall obtain mercy from the Lord. And when we think of the word mercy, mercy is us not receiving what we deserve. So God don't give us what we deserve. And when we think of grace, the difference between mercy and grace, grace is us receiving what we do not deserve. And mercy is us not receiving what we deserve. So many times the person doesn't deserve it, but we still have to show mercy. For the word of God said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The more we show mercy to others is the more we receive God's mercy. So God is saying to us today, let us show mercy. The person might not deserve it, but let us still give that mercy to that person. Let us be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful to us. Many times we are not deserving of it, but he still gives us that mercy that we need. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Come with confidence to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. Many times we run to him and he's always, always giving us that mercy and grace to help us. So let us consider others also, that they also need our mercy. We need the Heavenly Father's mercy, but we also have to give mercy to those that need, that are in need of mercy. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When we go boldly to the throne of grace to receive that mercy, the Lord himself will see our good deeds, that we have been merciful to others, and surely we will obtain mercy, for the word of God says so. Verse 8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy, favored are those with a clean heart, with pure in heart, a clean heart. Psalm 119:9 said, how can a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed to the word of God. When we take heed to the word of God, the word will purify us. It washes us. It cleanses us. So we have to take heed to the word of God. The word of God said in verse 8 of Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People of God, we want to see the manifestation of God in our lives. The Lord is seeking for consecrated vessels to show forth his glory and his praise. We want to see God like Isaiah saw him in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The word of God told us that Isaiah saw the Lord in a vision, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Isaiah saw him in his exalted position. And Isaiah, when he saw all that was happening in heaven, the angels singing, holy, 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 Isaiah saw his unholiness. And people of God, when we see God, when we catch a glimpse of who he is, We are going to see our unholiness and cry out like Isaiah. Woe unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. But the word of God said that seraphim took that live coal and placed it on Isaiah's lips and purged him. And so every time we run to Jesus and cry to him, he purges us. He said if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to run to Jesus daily for our cleansing. We need to run to him. And when we run to him daily, when we become poor in spirit, when we know that we are spiritually lacking and we run to him and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me, he will cleanse us. And when we have that clean heart, we are going to see him like Isaiah saw him, high and exalted. We want to see him high and exalted in our lives, people of God. We want to come to know him in such a personal way. We want to trust him and walk in his ways. We want to live for Jesus, walking and living for him, practicing the words that he has spoken to us. He said, if we hear these words and practice them, he likens us, he sees us as what wise people. We want to walk in wisdom. We want to practice the word of God, and we want to live the word of God so that others will see Christ in us and come to glorify him. Job saw him also. Job saw him. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Job saw him also. In Job 42, verse 5 through 6, Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. How many times we just hear the word of God, but we haven't really encountered him. We haven't really seen him in his exalted position. He wants to reveal himself to us in such a way that our lives will never be the same. We will be changed for good. We will walk forth as witnesses for Christ, not being ashamed of the gospel, but going forth in power, turning the world upside down. Job saw him. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. He said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we see him, people of God, we have to repent. When we see him, we see our unholy self, and we have to repent. People of God, we pray today that we will come to him in brokenness. He said, a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. We come to him in brokenness and say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I do not like the way I am living. I am not honoring your name with the lifestyle I'm living. Forgive me and help me. We have to come and be clean before him. Come before him and admit our wrongs, and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are going to walk daily, seeing him manifested in our lives as we continue to walk in purity. John the Apostle saw him also in Revelation 1, 17 through 18. John saw him. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When John saw him, John couldn't stand up on his feet. He fell. People of God, when we see him, we're going to fall before him. John fell at his feet as dead. And the word of God said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So John encountered the risen Savior. John encountered the glorified Christ Jesus. John encountered him in that encounter while he was on the Isle of Patmos. And he was in the Spirit. He saw the Lord and he fell at his feet. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't stand up in front of the glorified Christ. He fell at his feet as dead. But Christ laid his hand on him, reassuring him, "It's okay. Fear not." He said, "I am the first and the last." Christ Jesus is the first and the last. None before him, none after him. So we have to look only to him. So we want our spiritual eyes to be opened. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when we come to him confessing our sins, he will purify us and we will see him high and lifted up. People of God, the Lord is calling us back into that close relationship with him, calling us to that place of humble submission before him, calling us to that place of being broken, and a broken and a contrite heart, he said, he will not despise. Verse 9 of Matthew 5, verse 9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And that word blessed, as we said before, means happy or favored are those that seek to reconcile, seek to bring reconciliation. The word of God says we are ministers of reconciliation. So we are supposed to be peacemakers. Peacemakers is different from being peacekeepers. Peacekeepers, we say yes to everything and we tolerate everything because we want to be at peace with everybody. But that's not the peace that Jesus is speaking about. He's speaking about that peace that means to be reconciled. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation. We're called to bring wholeness, to edify. For they shall be called the children of God. We want to be called the children of God. We don't want just to be going around with the name that we are Christians, but we want to live the life that shows that we are truly children of God. We want to be those that bring forth the good news of reconciliation, that Christ himself came to earth and has reconciled mankind unto himself. We can now be in fellowship with God our Father because of what Christ has done for us at the cross. So we are supposed to go out there and tell people of what Christ has done, that he has come to reconcile mankind unto God through his shed blood on the cross. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died to bring us back into that close relationship with our Abba Father. Now we can be called children of God because of what Christ has done at the cross for us. His word said, "As many as receive him, to them gave he power or the right to become children of God." We want to receive Christ in our hearts. We want to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to give him our all. We want to be children of God and live like children of God, bringing honor and glory to his name. We bless God for this session this week, and we will continue in Matthew chapter 5 next week on the sayings of Jesus. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, "Thy Word is a Lamp." You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.
This is W.